Just the one text of scripture that I would like to leave with you tonight. You'll find it in Lamentations. So if you find the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament and move forward from there, you've got Jeremiah, and then the next book, much smaller, is the Lamentations of Jeremiah. The text is chapter 1 and verse 12. And the words are these: Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Amen. I'm reading from this copy of the scriptures, King James Version, so don't be alarmed. It's a 40th anniversary that my daughter was given whilst I was in Limavady. They were all given, maybe you were given a 40th anniversary edition, you think so? Yeah. Well, I've started to use this. Her name's still on it. She's in England. She's in York. Remember Judith, pray for her, that the Lord would touch her. But I've been using this in the prison as well. Your minister told you about the prison work. He's asked me to say a few words about it. When I was making the announcements, I thought, well, I'm going to tell them all that. They'll be here at midnight. There'll be somebody falling out the window. Or maybe the preacher falling out of the pulpit. But anyway, I was using this, and there's a chap in the prison, and he went to our Randallstown church. He says, is that an anniversary edition? I said, it is. So I got one of them. And Edgar is his name, Edgar Agnew, and he's coming out to the services regular, and he's doing a Bible study course. We do courses for them. They're sent off to Liverpool and marked and sent back. So remember Edgar, it's another person you can pray for, Edgar in McGilligan prison. I've been going into McGilligan from the early 80s. Served about 3 life sentences, didn't get out on the Good Friday Agreement. Plenty of other boys got out, and they're sitting in Stormont, some of them. But I'm still there. Dear knows how many miles I've walked up and down through that prison. When we first went into it, my organist in Limavady came in with me. She had her squeeze box. Well, this was great for the men, because when we went into McGilligan at first, we were getting 70 and 80 men every Sunday morning. And it was like a mini 12th. You know, the accordion playing, the old gospel hymns, and boy, they enjoyed it. So with so many, they had to divide them into two. We had to have two services. It's strange that when the troubles abated a bit, there wasn't as many came out, but we still have the service going on. I was down this morning. I had a dozen with me. There's times when we have much more than that, but it's just like outside. It ebbs and it flows. And we've had the opportunity of preaching the gospel for all those years and established a distinctive free Presbyterian work in McGilligan Prison. Some people didn't like it to begin with, but it's still there, and the people that didn't like it are gone, and it was the Lord's work. I can't remember exactly the time. It's at least 40 years, but I have the letter giving me permission to go in, but it's the old computer type letter, and they didn't put a date on it. So I still have that, but it was the early 80s, and the Lord has helped us through those years. So remember Edgar, that the Lord would save him. And there's others, of course. There's services in Montgomery as well. So it's good that in the Free Presbyterian Church we have a gospel ministry. Reverend Ian Kenny and the Reverend Alan Smiley look after the prison work in Montgomery. The Isle of Man work sort of nearly runs parallel to my testimony. I was saved when I was 19 years of age. Used to be 19. Were you ever 19? He doesn't remember, it's that far back. But I came to the Lord sitting in a car outside work in Belfast, between the Shankill and the Falls. Boy, that's a great place to get saved. But the Lord saved me, and for about a year I went to a wee mission hall. Lovely place, lovely people. Great meetings at it. It was called the Branagh Mission in East Belfast, but I became a bit unsettled. There's a chap who eventually went into the police, Alan and myself ran about together, and we went to different churches, but I felt I should settle in a church. And I had always an inclination in my heart toward the big man. And he was really getting up and going then. I'm talking about the 60s. I was saved in 1967. And I wanted to go there. I did go there eventually, 1968. And you know, there were thousands of people, 2,500, you know, there, and you could have got lost. You could have got lost in the congregation. But I got involved in the youth fellowship, got involved in outreach, and I was involved in what was known as the Martyrs Memorial Male Witness. And we were up and down here plenty of times, so we were. And it's been some time since, but anyway, we got involved, and the young people were great young people. And we had people with us like Alan Smiley, who was just a young boy out of school, Brian Ferguson and myself. Brian and I became very friendly. We used to keep him going when he was a youngster. Wouldn't keep him going now, he's twice my size. But anyway, with David Priestley and other, with all those men and many others, men who become elders in the church, they were involved in a lot of the work and the martyrs at that time, and certainly in the male witness. We went across one year on a holiday to the Isle of Man. It used to be an attractive holiday resort. Now it's given more over to offshore banking. And if you've got a few million you want good interest in, well then, speak to me afterwards and I'll tell you where to go in the Isle of Man. But it's more to do with that now than holidays. But anyway, we went over and I just felt, we went to a wee church there, and the pastor was very friendly, he was very good. And I just felt in myself that I would like to come here and do Christian work. And what I did was I worked as much as I could, and I saved as much as I could. Didn't go to anybody looking for support. You have to do that now, of course. You have to raise support and go through our college, etc. But I just wanted to go and do some work for the Lord. And I went across in 1973. I was there for the most of the year. I did quite a lot of door-to-door evangelism. And the second part of that year, I preached for 6 months in a little church because the pastor had moved on. And of course, I got some good training there as well. And I'd been praying about my future with regard to the Lord's work. I came back in 1974 to go to our theological hall. There was no Whitfield then. It was the theological hall. And you know, it was a great time. We had great men in that year, 1974. It was a very, very big year for student intake. And of course, we had four great lecturers. Dr. Paisley, Dr. Cook, Dr. Douglas, and Dr. Kearns. So if you had an ingrown toenail, you had four doctors to look after you if you needed a doctor. But anyway, it was a tremendous experience. Great time among those men. Of course, little did I know that the woman who was madly in love with me was to come in to the theological hall as well. I didn't know that. It's Patricia sitting there. See her face? It's a very red face, if you look at it. We didn't know each other, of course, and I didn't know that. But it was the way the Lord was working. And I came through my time. Theological Hall, spent about 2.5 years in our Mulvan Church, then got a call to our Lima Valley Church, 1979, and I was there for nearly 34 years. But during that time, I was the secretary to what was then known as the Forward Movement. You've had its chairman with you this morning. It's not now the Forward Movement, it's the Mainland Commission. But the Forward Movement was the forerunner to the Mainland Commission. The Reverend Ken Elliott was its chairman, and we met very regularly in our Dunmurry Church. Great men on that commission. And we sought to encourage the works on the mainland, the way the Mainland Commission is doing now. It was during that time, of course, the London work was established, and it's doing well and seemingly going from strength to strength. But there came a request into that committee, and it came through our Lisburn church. I think the Reverend Tom Martin was the one that it came through, but it came to the committee, and I can remember the night that it came, and Reverend William Beattie said, "I know the man for there." And of course he referred to myself because I had spent a year in the Isle of Man. That was round about, I think, the year 2000, or just after it. And so for those years, I've been, in a sense, looking after the wee Cinderella work, I call it, in the Isle of Man. And when we started, as is often the case in many works, we had a good wee number, with a couple of dozen. But because we were doing it remotely, there was no man placed there, then, you know, if you don't have a regular pastorate, then you find that the work will not progress a lot. It's the only work in all the works of the mainland that hasn't had a regular pastor. Now, our brother mentioned Colin and Noel, and they did a mission in it last year, and they really enjoyed it. Did a very good mission. They had up and 15 people coming, and that's revival for the Isle of Man. At the most, they can get about maybe 9, 10, 11, even a dozen. And, you know, they're not like yourselves regular. People can move about on a whim, but they do need a regular pastor. Someone who will want to go and work. Now, it's very romantic to think about the foreign mission field, and we should think about it and support the works. But these works are, as it were, right on our doorstep. There's a boy, he's dead, long dead now. His name is J.R. Miller. Take a note of that. Write it down or remember it. J.R. Miller. And he wrote a number of books, but one of them is Come Ye Apart. Daily readings in the life of Christ. He goes right through the year and the life of Christ and does daily readings. Now, I'm not selling it to you in one sense. In another sense, I am, but you can get it absolutely free on Amazon. So you can get it on your tablet, you can get it on your phone. It's absolutely free. The date in mine, it was presented to somebody in 1909. It was an old book, very sound book, great readings in it, day by day, right through the year. J.R. Miller, Come Ye Apart. So I was reading him the other day, and he's in the Sermon on the Mount, and the text, Ye Are the Light of the World. And he made reference to a lighthouse, and how the lighthouse throws its beams out far into the dark and possibly troubled sea, to warn people, to show them the way, or the way not to go, as the case may be. And he said, you know, the same lighthouse doesn't shine its light round its own base, round the rocks that it actually is built on. It's sending the light out far, but none near. And he made reference to supporting works that are near to hand. And that's a good thought. And it's backed up in the scriptures, because you will remember the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the woman at the well in Samaria. And when she went away and the disciples came back, the Lord said to the disciples, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. And that's a text that is often used, and rightly so, for the challenge of foreign missions. But if you look at that chapter, those folks were coming to the Lord. They were coming to where the disciples were. They were nearby. They were near at hand. And the mission field for them was coming to them. And is that not the case of things today? The mission field is coming to us. I'm sure Enniskillen's no different from other towns and cities in Northern Ireland. You'll hear all sorts of languages. You'll see all sorts of nationalities. And they're coming to us. And so the light needs to be shone at our base, as it were. And let me encourage you to pray for that wee work. Some of your own young people were here. Brother Edwards was across. And I often call it a Cinderella work. Just a very small work. The property's ours. It's a very well-placed and highly priced piece of real estate. Just as you go into Port Erin, that's to the south of Douglas, and the wee work has continued. It's well enough kept. It's not a big church, but it's well enough kept with a few folk that are there. Do pray for that work. Just a handful of people. But we send someone over practically every week throughout the year. Now, we couldn't do that, and the wee church couldn't do that on its own. We have an arrangement with our presbytery made back in the days of the Forward Movement that each church would send its minister and or student to take the services there. And that has continued for over 20 years. It needs your help, certainly with regard to prayer, and it needs your help with regard to any way at all you can support it. So if you're over, I don't know if any of you go over for the TT, or not. There's folks go over to the wee church as well as go to the motorcycle races. But there's a wee work there, struggling at times. But the gospel's preached. And I think there was quite a bit of outreach done when Brother Edwards with the youth group was over just about 2-3 weeks ago. And there has been efforts, special efforts made, but it definitely, most definitely, needs a man who will be there permanent. We have a brother going over for a month, another brother and his wife are going over for a couple of weeks in August, but we need somebody settled there. Not an easy place, you know. The prices for property over there are somewhat akin to London. If you were to go and look in a real estate, if you were to look about buying a house, the prices would boggle you. You could buy maybe 1.5-2 houses here for the price they're looking for something that maybe doesn't even look great, outwardly anyway. So that's the backdrop to the work. For some lovely people that we have known through the years, a number of them have died. They've supported the work, they've stuck in with the work. But it needs more than anything else a man to be there. You can imagine what your own church would be like if you didn't have the Reverend Porter with you week after week, ministering to you, visiting, following up, leads you can imagine. But here's a wee work that's struggling. And we would quote the text that I read tonight, and I would quote it with regard to all the mainland works, because they're fairly similar, actually. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? We can pass by the mainland works. We can think of works in foreign fields, and rightly so. But what about those near to hand? So we text in the Song of Solomon that says, they made me keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. We need to look about our own vineyards. We need to let the light shine at our base. We need to let the light shine in England, and Scotland, and Wales, and in the Isle of Man. The Mainland Commission are setting out a plan to get support, and they're wanting churches in Northern Ireland to take on a mainland work. And they're not talking about financially, they're talking about getting a church or churches to adopt a certain work on the mainland and concentrating on that work, getting reports from that work and hearing about its progress or otherwise. Will you pass by? Is it nothing to you that there are people in the Isle of Man, the number around 80,000, bit like home here, you can't go too far in it till you come to the sea, everything's near to hand, but there are people who need the Lord. We can say the same about London. We can say the same about Liverpool. We can say the same about Wales. We can say the same about Scotland. Is it nothing to us? Have we any interest in the progress of the gospel in our home nations? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? This little text, well, it's not that little, but we can also refer this text to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this text, three simple, brief things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is here. First of all, there's the unparalleled sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, here's the invitation, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. The unparalleled sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was said of him, and this was by his enemies, Never man spake like this man. And we could also say, never man suffered like this man. The time doesn't permit us to elaborate on the depth of the sufferings of Christ coming up to the cross through Gethsemane and as he hung on the cross. He suffered as no other could. He bore your sin and my sin. The Bible talks about the sins of one individual as being in a multitude. And Christ suffered for all those sins, the multitude of sins. But the Bible also tells us about a multitude that no man can number who's in heaven. And Christ bore the sin of that innumerable multitude for their innumerable multitude of sins. He may not know. We cannot tell what pain Christ had to bear. But we believe it was for us. He hung and suffered there. The unparalleled sufferings of Christ. And then you can see in this text the unremitted wrath of God. Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, listen to these words, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. And that's a description of Calvary. It was the day of Almighty God's fierce anger poured out upon his Son. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to Christ's cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, where he found his sheep that was lost. God's fierce anger was poured out upon the darling of his bosom, the son of his love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glory's end, when Christ, the great creator, died for man, the creature's sin. The unremitted wrath of God, the unparalleled sufferings of Christ, and then you have in the text as well the unconcern of sinners. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And we can think of those who passed by that day when the Lord was nailed upon the cross. They mocked, they poured scorn. It meant nothing, absolutely nothing to them. Does it mean anything to you? Does it mean anything to you to think that God loved you so much that he sent his own Son your sin, to take your guilt, to become sin. That's what it says. He hath made him to be sin for us. Does that not concern you? Will you tonight say, well, it means nothing to me? I respect the church, I respect the preachers, but that's as far as it goes. Doesn't touch your heart, doesn't exercise your soul. That the Lord gave himself for you. Oh, that you would sort that out tonight, and that you would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. May God bless his word to your hearts this evening. Amen.
We're just going to turn, please, in closing tonight to hymn number 480 in your hymn book. 480. I want to thank the Lord's servant tonight for coming and giving that report, that update on the work in Isle of Man. And I would encourage you to take it upon your heart day by day to pray for the work there, the little group of people. The Lord will strengthen their hand in God and add to the work, and even in the days to come, send a man of his choosing there to pastor the flock. Do be much in prayer for the work. We thank you, brother, for coming tonight, giving the report and preaching God's word. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, well, that you'd realize that Christ died for you, that he shed his blood for you, and that you would come to him tonight and trust him, whom to know is life eternal. This is a great gospel hymn, yet there's a challenge to us as believers as well. The hymn writer says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, but poor contempt in all my pride. The final verse says, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And that's the challenge to us as believers tonight, to give our lives to the Lord, to the Lord's work, to his cause, his kingdom, until the Lord comes or calls us home to glory. But if you're not saved tonight, oh, that you'd come to trust in Christ and rest upon the finished work of Christ alone upon the cross for your salvation. 480 will stand as we sing. Let's stand as we sing. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for thy presence. We thank thee, Lord, for help given to thy servant as he's brought the report on thy work in the Isle of Man. And we realize tonight that it is thy work. And Lord, thou said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we do pray, Lord, for that building up and that strengthening of that work there in Isle of Man. We thank thee, Lord, for sustaining it and keeping it. And Lord, for the many people through the witness there who have heard the gospel on the island. And Lord, we do pray that thou would bless the seed that has faithfully been sown over many, many years to the saving of souls and to the ingathering of other believers under the sound of thy word, we pray. Bless the people there, encourage them. Do meet every practical need for the work, we pray. Bless our brother here, the Reverend McDowell, and the Mainland Commission as they oversee that work. Give them great wisdom. And Lord, we pray that even in thy will, Lord, in thy time, that thou would raise up a man there to pastor that flock, someone that has feels the call of God, the burden of the Lord, to go and to minister in that place, we pray. Strengthen their hand in God. Again, we thank thee for the ministry in McGillingham Prison. Bless thy servant there as he preaches thy word and pastors to the needs of prisoners there week by week. Think of this man, Edgar, Lord. We pray that thou wilt save him and bring him unto Christ in salvation. We thank thee for thy word tonight and for the challenge in the gospel. We thank thee the gospel's the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, for any inner meeting tonight unsaved, any listening in online tonight unsaved, speak to their hearts especially, we pray. May they realize, O God, their great need of a Savior. May they realize, O God, their great need as a sinner. And may they come in faith and in repentance unto the Lord for salvation. Bless thy word to this end. Accept of our thanks for thy mercies and blessings this day. Take us to our homes in safety. Journey with us. Keep your hand upon us for good in this new week that lies before us. For we ask all these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.